Welcome to the Western Bowhunter Podcast with your host, South Cox of Stalker State Bows.
Welcome back to the Western Bowhunter Podcast. This is South Cox, and we have another Patrick McManus episode here. This one is one I have not previewed. In fact, I don't know that I've read any of his short stories out of this book. This one is Into the Twilight, Endlessly Grousing. But I was looking over the titles of the chapters there, and if you remember The Mountain Car, that was one of my favorites, and he has one called Mrs. Peabody 2, which, of course, Mrs. Peabody was the name of the mountain car, and so I'm hoping Mr. McManus comes through solid for us again here and comes up with another good one. This one, like I said, I have not previewed, so I'm hoping that it's a good one and I can hold it together as I read it. Mrs. Peabody 2. Rhett Sweeney and I were grounded during our freshman year in high school, not by parental decree, but because our mountain car, Mrs. Peabody, had perished. We had named the car after our favorite high school teacher, an honor we were sure she cherished, although obviously not enough to show her appreciation in the form of higher grades. We weren't surprised by her failure to reciprocate, but it had been worth a shot. Mrs. Peabody, the car, could not have been more lovely, something, by the way, that also could be said for the teacher after whom we'd named the vehicle. We had practically stolen the car from Budge Honeycutt, owner of a local wrecking yard. Budge said so himself, wetting his thumb and counting out the wad of 40 $1 bills we'd handed over. He even went so far as to say that he had never run into two Sharpies as shrewd as Rhett and I. "Shucks," he said. "If every client was like you fellas, I'd likely go broke in no time at all." 3 months after the purchase, Mrs. Peabody blew up. Not something you'd expect from a $40 car. Budge Honeycutt admitted as much. He said we must have forgotten to put oil in it. That wasn't true. When we mentioned to someone that we had gotten 20 miles to the gallon, we were talking about oil, not gas. Rhett suggested to Budge that he might want to refund us on the car. But that was a dangerous thing to suggest. When you make a man Budge's age laugh that hard, he could easily have a heart attack. But I've written about the Peabody tragedy and Never Sniff a Gift Fish, and it would make me too sad to dwell further on it here. 6 months later, we had scraped together another $40. A neighbor had an old junker out in his back lot, and he said he'd reckon he might be able to let it go for $100. We told him we had only $40 in change. "How much change?" he asked. "Sold!" For $40, of course, we didn't expect any of the usual automotive accessories, such as doors, fenders, headlights, taillights, a complete floor, or a back seat, but the car had all the essentials, like a motor and wheels, It did have brakes, too, which quite often actually worked. We always drove the car flat out, or about 15 miles an hour. That may not seem like much in this speed-crazed age, but it was a lot better than pedaling a bike up into the mountains with all your camping gear tied on behind. As soon as we'd made the purchase, we rushed into Mrs. Peabody's classroom and told her we were naming our new car after her, too. She said, "Be still, my heart." So we knew that she was pleased, although probably not enough to affect our grades. As with our first car, naming the vehicle after our English teacher apparently resulted in a certain amount of confusion in our small town of Blight. The possibility of such confusion never occurred to Rhett or me, of course. Otherwise, we probably would have named the car something else. A mechanic by the name of Heck Ramsey owned a little gas station and garage outside of town, and occasionally we'd wheedle him into diagnosing some malfunction of our car and, with a bit of luck on our part, fixing it. We stopped by Heck's garage one day for just such a purpose. He came out of the shop wiping his hands on an oily rag, taking care to conceal his joy over another visit from us. "What do you two want now?" he growled. "Don't you see I'm busy?" "We don't want to bother you, Heck," Retch said. "Just stop by for a cold pop and to chew the rag a bit." "Oh, by the way, here's something that'll interest you. Mrs. Peabody's got a bad exhaust problem."
"I've got one myself," Heck said, "but I can live with it. I expect she can too."
"Yeah," I said, "but it's us that we're worried about. We're afraid the fumes will kill us. Our eyes started to burn and get all watery. We can hardly breathe."
"Sounds like a real bad case, all right. About the worst I've ever heard of. Mrs. Peabody, you say?"
"Yep, Mrs. Peabody. Say, Heck," I wheedled, "you don't happen to have an old tailpipe around that you can install on our car, do you?
What's wrong with the tailpipe you got?"
"Probably nothing, except it's up on the Pack River someplace."
"I'd be glad to solve that little problem for you."
"You would? That's great."
"Yep. What I'd advise you is you drive your heads out the winders, because I sure ain't installing a tailpipe on it."
"She don't have windows," Retch pointed out. "Doors either, but the exhaust comes straight up through the floor."
"Oh, well, I suppose I could put on an old tailpipe, but I ain't doing the job for free. How much money you got?"
$1.15.
"Just enough. Drive her up on the rack."
Retch and I hung around the garage, picking up a few new swear words while the greedy mechanic installed the tailpipe. "You'd think he could have left us with at least enough change for a couple of pops," Retch muttered. "You know mechanics," I said. "Take every last dime you have." Mechanics weren't the only persons to give us problems over Mrs. Peabody, too. Sheriff O'Reilly was always after us, too. We were tooling up the highway one day at 15 miles an hour, minding our own business, when once again we noticed a red blinking light faintly through the cloud of black exhaust smoke boiling out of our new tailpipe. While we were discussing the possibility of the source of light, the faint round of a siren rose above the roar and periodic explosions emanating from Mrs. Peabody's engine. We pulled over and drifted to a stop, not wanting to use up what was left of the brakes unnecessarily. Because I was the passenger, it was my job to stick my feet down through a hole in the floor and skid them along the ground to help with the braking. Retch had constructed an anchor we could drop through the hole in case of an emergency, but we hadn't yet had an emergency. Presently, the sheriff stuck his head through the window, or what would have been a window if Mrs. Peabody had possessed any. We tried to interest him in casual conversation, but he didn't appear to be in the mood, or so we judged from his shouting into Retch's ear, which he had grasped between two fingers and pulled up close to his lips. "I thought I was done with you two." Oh, good Lord. Oh, man. I'm wiping tears from my eyes here. I thought I was done with you two idiots after your last hazardous heap blew up," he bellowed. "Listen to me, Retch Sweeney. If I catch you and Pat out on the highway one more time with this death trap of a monstrosity, I'm going to run both of you in. I'm going to lock you up in a cell and feed you nothing but bread and water for a year. You hear me?" We laughed. Sheriff O'Reilly was such a kidder. The sheriff gave Retch... Oh, my goodness. We laughed. Sheriff O'Reilly was such a kidder. The sheriff gave Retch's ear a fierce little tug. "What? One more thing. You got to get a license for this pile of junk." Retch. Aye, aye, aye. Retch and I were deeply offended. It was one thing to hear Mrs. Peabody called a death trap, but pile of junk was downright insulting, particularly when you consider that I had purified the sheriff's vocabulary somewhat. "What we need a license for?" Retch asked. "So the vehicle can be identified, that's what's for." "You didn't have any trouble identifying it, did you, Sheriff?" Retch said, "Aye, aye, aye."
It's always a bad idea to jest with a law officer when he has... It's always a bad idea to jest with a law officer when he has a hold of your ear. Wretch was still yelping as I tried to placate the officer with some good news about our car. Guess what, Sheriff, I said. Mrs. Peabody got her exhaust problem cured. Exhaust problem? Oh, heck. Ramsey mentioned it to me. Said it was the worst case he'd ever heard of. And by golly, if heck says so, I've got to believe it was downright terrible. Thank goodness she's cured. A thing like that can knock the devil out of your social life. Yeah, I said. I didn't mention that Wretch and I had very little social life anyway. Well, you boys get this heap off the highway and don't let me catch you out here again. One more thing, Sheriff, Wretch said, trying to work his ear back into its original shape. How about giving us a boost to get her started? That way we don't have to get out and crank her. One of the things I hated worse about the sheriff was that long, cold, silent stare. It could lift the hairs on the back of your neck. We managed to avoid the sheriff most of the time. Fortunately, we had to drive only about 3 miles down the highway to get to a road that took us up into the mountains. No one ever bothered us or Mrs. Peabody when we were up in the mountains. That's one of the things I've always loved about the mountains. Oh, occasionally when we had Mrs. Peabody parked alongside the road, a logging truck would stop and the driver would yell out the window, "You boys, dang lucky you didn't get killed. That's the worst accident I'd ever seen." Loggers have a cruel sense of humor. During the 6 months or so we had her, Mrs. Peabody, too, served us faithfully, hauling us hither and yon on fishing and camping trips and just wandering about on the mountain roads. But then one day, tragically, she conked out. We were up near the end of the Pack River Road and practically flying down a steep hill. I was skidding my feet as much as I could stand, and Wretch was yelling, "Throw out the anchor! Throw out the anchor!" But then, suddenly, all the working innards of Mrs. Peabody seized up and the car came to a grinding, shuddering halt. As if that weren't bad enough, a fire broke out in the engine compartment. We doused the flames with sand, but it was too late to save her. She was done for. Wretch theorized that she had blown a gasket, although neither of us was quite sure what a gasket was or if Mrs. Peabody possessed one. It sounded good, though. Sadly, we started the long walk home. Presently, a logging truck came by and picked us up. We rode along in silence. "You boys look a little down in the mouth," the logger said. "Can't be all that bad. What's the problem?" "We just lost Mrs. Peabody," Wretch said. "She's dead as a doornail." "Mrs. Peabody? Good heavens! I didn't even know she was sick. Must have happened just like that." "Yeah," I said. "It was pretty sudden. Something went haywire with her innards." "Oh, that's just terrible," the logger said. "She was such a beauty, too." "We thought so, too," Wretch said. "I doubt she was a day over 30," the logger said, shaking his head. I was surprised the logger would think our car was so old, but I didn't see the point in correcting him. The logger shook his head sadly. "Come to think of it, I did hear from the sheriff she was having some kind of, gastric problem. Probably had something to do with it." "I reckon so," Wretch said. "She blew a gasket." "Good grief!" The very next week, Wretch and I stayed after class to break the bad news to Mrs. Peabody about the demise of her namesake. I thought she took it rather well, judging from the way she leaped into the air and clicked her heels together. All right. I hope you guys enjoyed that one, and it did not disappoint. My goodness, I'm wiping tears from the corners of my eyes. I haven't laughed that hard in a while. All right, maybe stay tuned for some of the outtakes. Poor Nick's gonna have to earn his money editing this one.
If you've enjoyed listening to the Western Bowhunter podcast, please subscribe to the show so that you will automatically be notified when new episodes are posted up. Please take the time to give us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. This will help us in the podcast rankings and will help us grow. If you have a topic you'd like to hear about or a guest that you'd like to hear from in a future episode, email south@stalkerstickbows.com with podcast in the subject line. Too many years have passed me by. I've come down from the mountain. I've come down from the
I thought I was done with you two. Oh, good Lord. Oh, man. I'm wiping tears from my eyes here. Aye. So the vehicle can be identified. That's what it's for. You didn't have any trouble identifying it, did you, Sheriff? Sir Winnie has. I,